Welcome to the NewsHour. I'm Steve Lindman. My guest today is Dr. Stephanie Woolhandler. Steffi is co-founder of Physicians for a National Health Program, and she's also a longtime activist for universal single-payer coverage. It's certainly getting headlines these days, but not the ones that both of us want to see. Steffi also practices internal medicine and has taught at Harvard since 1987. She's also co-director of its internal medicine fellowship program, and she's written many articles and co-authored with her husband, David Himmelstein, Bleeding the Patient Dry, The Consequences of Corporate Healthcare. Steffi, I welcome you, and I must say, back in the 1990s, I read the book, and it's on my shelf, and it made a big impact on me. I don't know whether there's a later edition than the older one that I have.
We mostly work through journal articles and new media at this point. Folks like me, we still read books, but I think the younger generation's kind of given up on that.
Oh, well, I guess I'm not the younger generation, but I most certainly don't give up on books. I've got so many wonderful ones on my shelf that have taught me so much. And again, you impacted me greatly. I've said a number of times on this program that at one time when I was safely covered by employer-paid coverage, which was my own small company most of the time, I didn't really worry. Well, going back a good amount of time, I didn't worry about this issue because, as we both know, medical care and insurance was a lot cheaper in days way back. But that's no longer the case, and somewhere along the way, I don't remember the exact moment of my awakening, but it became very clear to me that the present system is broken, and unless we change it, it's going to continually get worse, and look where we are today.
Yes, well, it costs over $8,000 per capita for health care in this year, and that's about twice as much as other developed nations pay on a per capita basis for health care. And of course, other developed nations all provide some form of universal comprehensive health care. So the United States is an outlier. It's an outlier both because our costs are so high, and it's an outlier because we don't have national health insurance.
Well, that is for absolute certain. And what's been going on, the House, of course, passed their bill, and the debate is going on in the Senate. I wanted to bring up, we have a few breaks when you hear music. It means a break is coming and I'll interrupt. But I sent you an email this morning if you happen to spot it, the latest, I'm not sure if it's the latest, but one of the late developments in the Senate, the idea of including the 55 to 65 year old category under Medicare. But I, honest to goodness, smell a rat on this. Anybody covered by employer-covered health insurance, I can't imagine that they would give them an option of going that way. Can you?
Well, if they would give people the option of going to Medicare at age 55, that would be a step forward. The Medicare program has been more secure than other types of health insurance. A better step forward, of course, would be to make it mandatory that everybody over 55 is mandatory that they be in Medicare, just like it's now mandatory that everybody over 65 is covered. The reason that would be a big step forward is the bugaboo, the deep problem with the public option, and this is not just me speaking, this is what the Congressional Budget Office has said. The deep problem is that you're going to get adverse selection. The private plans, if they compete with the public option, will cherry pick and get the healthier people. All the sicker people will end up in the public option, or even if it's a Medicare option as opposed to mandatory Medicare. And then the cost in your public option go sky high because all the sick people are concentrated there.
Oh, absolutely. We have to break it. I wrote those very thoughts in an article.
Yeah.
We'll be right back.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! Huh. For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Men, are you thinking about the health of your prostate? Recently, New Vitality Health Products gave away thousands of free bottles of the supplement Beta Prostate. Due to incredible demand, they're giving away more free bottles of Beta Prostate to any new customers who call now. Beta Prostate is packed with plant sterols that support your prostate health. Remember, your prostate affects urine flow, sleeping habits, intimacy, and overall quality of life. Beta Prostate is so powerful, you'd have to take 100 saw palmetto capsules in order to get the same natural plant sterols as one Beta Prostate. And if you haven't tried Beta Prostate yet, you can call right now for a free bottle. You only pay shipping and handling. Call 1-800-790-6293. This offer is limited to one free bottle per household. Give your body nutrition that targets the prostate. Call now and try Beta Prostate for free. Call 1-800-790-6293. And be sure to click on our banner at www.republicbroadcasting.org.
Introducing the new Go Berkey Kit, the first of its kind portable water purification system for those on the go. The new Go Berkey system has an amazing output of about a gallon an hour. Each Go Berkey kit includes a 1-quart high-quality stainless steel system complete with a black Berkey purification element, a generic sports bottle, and a nylon carrying case. The whole kit weighs a mere 2.25 pounds. With an expected element life of around 3,000 gallons, you can refill the Go Berkey system up to an incredible 12,000 times before needing to replace the element. The new Go Berkey kit is perfect for backpacking, hiking, emergency packs, bug-out bags, international travel, car emergency kits, or for your desk at home or at work. Get your Go Berkey kit today for only $139 by calling 800-724-2719. That's 800-724-2719. Go to republicbroadcasting.org. The online store, it's a featured product. Not available in Iowa.
Welcome back. On with Steffi Woolhandler, talking about the healthcare debate, the campaign, which certainly is not getting any support in Congress, except for a few stalwarts, the campaign for universal single-payer coverage. Steffi, I think the breakaway caught me in mid-sentence. Then in one of my articles, I made the very points that you did about adverse selection related to a public option, that the insurers will cherry-pick the best, they'll leave for government the rest. The cost of coverage will go way up. I mean, it's a terrible way of not fixing the problem, but just avoiding it. And this is the way the debate goes in Congress, with only a few good people around who know what's needed, but they're outnumbered by the bad ones.
Yeah, I think the problem is really our campaign finance system. Even people who start out well-intentioned, in order to get elected, they have to collect so much money. They have to collect millions, hundreds of millions to be the president, so that they have to take money from these big corporations, drug industry, and most relevant to our discussion today, the insurance industry. So this is how good politicians go bad, is in order to win an election, which of course they have to do to be a politician, they end up having to listen to the insurance industry and drug industry. And I think we've really seen that in the debate in Washington. The Baucus framework, which for people who don't know, Senator Baucus wrote the Senate bill through the Senate Finance Committee. The document he produced at the beginning of this was the Baucus framework. It's really the basis for all the discussion of the Senate bill. The Baucus framework was actually written on the computer of Elizabeth Fowler, whose last job was vice president of WellPoint, the largest publicly traded private insurance company in the world. Okay. So Liz Fowler came straight from the largest insurance company to the Senate Finance Committee. The Baucus framework was written on her computer, and if if you want proof of that, you can go to the web, go to the Senate Finance Committee website, download the document, and right-click to see the properties box, and it says the author is Elizabeth Fowler. It's really a smoking gun about the intense influence that the insurance industry has had over this entire process. And while they continue to squawk, give us more, give us more, give us more, in fact, the insurance industry got most of what they wanted out of this bill, which is primarily that there's going to be $450 billion in taxpayer subsidies to the purchase of private health insurance, and that everyone in the country is going to be mandated to buy private insurance. If you don't take your money, hard-earned money, and turn it over to private health insurance, you have to pay a fine. It's a federal offense. So that's what the insurance industry wanted. They got their main goal out of this bill, which is a huge purchase on the taxpayers' money that'll go on for decades. And that's why there's a lot of good things in the bill as well. But at its core, the bill is going to strengthen the private health insurance industry, and that's going to be very bad for patients and consumers in the long run.
Well, I agree with those points right down the line. Number one, unless we fix the way elections are funded, there's only one solution to that, Steffi, and that's government-funded elections. Campaigns that go on a brief period before election day, everybody getting equal time on air and the media, whatever, more or less, and get rid of this they're not investments. They're not campaign contributions. These industries make, these companies, they're investments, because of every dollar they give a candidate, they get back so much more in return. Otherwise, there wouldn't be any contributions. So the system is corrupted from the start. And it's a rare Dennis Kucinich or Bernie Sanders who stands up against it and goes the right way and does the right thing. But they don't get the big bucks from these industries. True that, without question, industry officials draft the legislation, or lobbyists representing industry officials, and it's right across the board, not only regarding health care, regarding virtually everything, defense, chemicals, I mean, every single industry. The officials just go through the revolving door into government. Look at the FDA. My goodness, I mean, staffed by people who go back to the industry after a tour of duty there. The WTO, staffed WHO, even write it once in a while. The World Health Organization, staffed by drug industry officials, and they design these awful rules, but benefiting the industry. Unless there's a way to fix that, Steffi, then the headwinds are very stiff to get the real reform that will help people. But we got to keep plugging for it.
Yeah. Well, there is a way to fix it. You know, a cure for a broken democracy is more democracy. And, you know, democracy is not a spectator sport. It has to be, can't be won. It has to be practiced. So people need to get involved. You have to do more than vote every 2 years. You have to go to public meetings. You have to speak it. When the politicians have a public meeting, you need to speak out. You need to be inviting single-payer speakers to your church, to your synagogue, to your labor union, to your professional conference. People need to be educating themselves about health reform, because one of the problems, I mean, the problems and the opportunity with this bill that's going through the House and Senate is they have not solved anything. You know, they have not solved the problem of high costs. They've not solved the problem of the uninsured. You know, even if the Senate bill works as planned, if it works as planned, there's going to be 25 million people still uninsured in the year 2020. So these bills are not going to solve the problem of the uninsured. They're not going to solve the problem of cost. So they may make the situation a little better or a little worse, depending on what comes out in the final bill. But there's still going to be a problem in the healthcare system. There's still going to be an angry bunch of citizens who are paying too much money and getting too little from healthcare, and we need to be out there working, talking about reform, making sure that the American people understand that this bill is not a solution. It's not single payer. This is not Medicare for all. This is not what we advocate, and that we still need that single payer Medicare for all solution.
Well, we discovered that Medicare works, Steffi, even though it's not exactly the contract that I signed and others back in 1965, that I would get a payroll deduction for it. And in return, when I reached 65, which was 10 years ago, I would get the government-covered health care free because I paid into it all my working life. It was most of my working life, began at 5 years before that, but most of my working life. And, of course, Medicare is not at all free. To get Part B, it's a pretty healthy premium. And then for the things that Medicare doesn't cover, I need a backup plan, so I have it through Blue Cross. And it costs me, I think it's something, currently about $4,000 a year. So that free contract I was supposed to get, cost me about $4,000 a year, and they're very sneaky.
That's an excellent point. When we talk about Medicare, single payers, Medicare for all, we mean an expanded and improved Medicare for all. The kind of Medicare they have, frankly, in Canada, they call their system Medicare as well. And in Canada, there are no co-payments and no deductibles for covered services. Everything's covered first dollar to last dollar. And it's not just for people over 65, it's for people from the day they're born. That's the kind of Medicare for all that we want, that, you know, is paid for by taxes and covers everything. Now, the reason they can afford to cover everything in Canada is they save so much money in two ways. First, they save a lot of money on administrative costs because they have a single payer. All the bills go the same place. You always know who's paying the bill. That saves you so much money. It saves we've estimated in articles in New England Journal that we could save between $350 and $400 billion every year just by simplifying administration with the single payer system. And that means you would have the money to cover all 47 million uninsured, not half of them, but all 47 million uninsured, and you would have plenty of money left over to plug the gaps in people who now have private insurance, but their insurance is so full of gaps like co-payments, deductibles, and uncovered services that they could still be bankrupted by a prolonged and expensive illness. Now, that's the kind of coverage the American people deserve. It's the kind of coverage they want. You know, people in Canada have complete free choice in doctor and hospital. They go to any doctor, any hospital they want. And they do the whole thing for, you know, 40% less than what we spend in this country. And this is why our organization, Physicians for a National Health Program, has been advocating for the nonprofit National Health Insurance, improved and expanded Medicare for all. We have 17,000 physician members. We're a single issue organization, and we work with non-physicians as an information resource. We run an excellent website at www.pnhp.org so that your listeners can become experts on health reform and go out and advocate that in their own communities.
Steffi, you have a wonderful website, and I've quoted you in my writing. I've quoted others, John Gaiman, Quentin Young, Oliver Fine. It's an invaluable resource to get facts on this issue. Whatever listeners may believe, pro or con, what you need are facts, and you make up your mind based on what the truth is, and then decide what's good, what's bad, what's otherwise. Let's take another break, and we'll come right back.
This is an important message from HempUSA.org. For our listeners who are advancing in age, baby boomers, and to all who want to be healthy, we urge you to try our microplant powder and see the difference it makes in your life. please visit hempusa.org and read about microplant powder. It's easy to take, one heaping tablespoon in any liquid 3 times a day. Call 908-691-2608 or visit hempusa.org. Please inform your family, friends, and relatives about this incredible product. It can change your life if you give it a chance. So try microplant powder today. Call 908-691-2608. In this toxic world, microplant powder can help now in cleaning out heavy metals, parasites, viruses, fungus, and bacteria. Please download our catalog at hempusa.org today.
Are you concerned about an economic downfall? Would you like to have more money to invest in precious metals, food, and safety of your loved ones? With the Debt Crisis Solutions Program, you can finally be debt-free without paying another cent to creditors and not have to file bankruptcy. This is not debt counseling, settlement, or debt consolidation, which may have serious legal and tax consequences. With our program, you will not pay another penny to your creditors or collectors. Protect your home and bank account from any lawsuits and restore your credit history. Finally, proven debt solutions that work for the people. Doing nothing doesn't make the debt go away. Call Debt Crisis Solutions and speak to an advisor absolutely free. 718-615-0123. Call 718-615-0123. 718-615-0123. That's 718-615-0123. Today.
Are you new to freeze-drying foods? These fine, easily storable foods were first developed for the U.S. space program. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. Freeze-dried foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. Why store emergency food? Keeping food on hand for emergencies protects you the same way as does insurance on your home or car. With Freeze Dry Guy freeze-dried foods in your food reserve, you can be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. In today's turbulent times of uncertainty, global crisis, world market collapse, stock market volatility, increased frequency of natural and man-made disasters, there has never been a better time to get a survival insurance policy. Take the necessary steps to protect your family in these uncertain times. Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. We pay the freight within the lower 48 states.
Welcome back. On with Steffi Wohlhandler talking about universal single-payer health care. Steffi, I think for sure most people really don't understand the issues and what really is going on. And, of course, most people get their so-called news and information from the major media where it is absolutely impossible to know anything. One program I've taken note of that I had never watched until some months ago, and then I began to Keith Olbermann, of course, and he's been on the healthcare issue constantly, and in some respects doing a good job. But it strikes me that to a great degree he's flacking for the Obama plan, and not really stressing the flaws in what's being debated. So he'll attack Republicans for attacking the Democrat plan. He should be attacking the Democrat plan because it's not real reform. I mean, let's get it on the table. Let's explain what's really going on, and let's demand the kind of plan that really will be reform. But he's not doing it.
Yeah, well, I think, many of us are very grateful to President Obama for getting rid of those other guys. You know, we certainly don't want them back in power in Washington. But the reality is, this plan that the Democrats are putting through the House and Senate is not a good plan. It may make things a little better. It may make things a little worse, but it's not a solution. And the major thrust of the plan is to strengthen and solidify the role of private health insurance in the system, because they're saying we're going to cover half of the uninsured by taking $450 billion that we collect from taxpayers as taxes and handing it over to the private health insurance industry. So it's strengthening the private health insurance industry in the long run. And frankly, it's tremendously strengthened the drug industry. The drug industry has gone out and spent $150 million advocating for this reform because they got a deal that nothing was going to be done really about their prices. There's some puny little promise they made about the donut hole. Once this thing's passed, they're going to offer cheap generics for seniors in the donut hole. But in every other situation, they've gone around raising their prices, with prices going really skyrocketing this year in anticipation of the bill. So the drug industry, the insurance industry, like this bill, even though they're still fighting to get more and more and more. And, you know, people on the left need to be willing to tell the truth. And the truth is this bill is not a solution, and it's really a disservice to the Democrats in the long run if they end up passing a bill promising a solution, and then it's completely evident to the American people who have to live with this health system over the next decade that the Democrats didn't solve anything. They raised taxes, and they didn't solve anything. And that's not going to be a good outcome for the Democrats either.
Oh, absolutely not. And indeed, the drug companies love it. Months back, I quoted Billy Tauzan, former congressman, now head of pharma, and supposedly the drug companies made a promise over 10 years to cut $80 billion in costs. Well, don't believe it. Absolutely don't believe it. But they could cut $80 billion and add $180 billion to make up for it. And they raised drug prices overall 9% last year. During a period when the CPI, which is not the best measure of inflation, but the CPI fell 1.3%, and they raised their prices 9%. And apparently they always do it when there's legislation that may be pending that as a hedge over how it may come out. So, well, I mean, they absolutely love this bill.
Yeah. Well, what we need to be thinking about politically is how you fundamentally challenge the power of the pharmaceutical industry and fundamentally challenge the power of the insurance industry. People tend to focus on small things around the edges, you know, prices in the donut hole or regulation in the individual market, which is a tiny share of the total market for health insurance, and miss the big picture, which is that the drug industry and the insurance industry are doing very, very well in this reform, and the American consumer, particularly the person who already has health insurance but still can't afford care, is doing very, very poorly. You know, in our research on medical bankruptcy, we found that 62% of all personal bankruptcies in the United States are due at least in part to medical illness or medical bills, and we also found that the majority of people who experienced medical bankruptcy had health insurance at the onset of the illness that bankrupted them. They'd have private health insurance, they'd get sick and be bankrupted by gaps in coverage like copayments, deductibles, and uncovered services. And this bill before Congress does nothing to fix that problem. If anything, they're making the problem worse in this way that is a little complicated to explain, but they're defining this new coverage for purposes of the bill as something with a very low actuarial value, something that covers 70% or less of your health care costs. Another way of putting it is they're going to give you or force you to buy an insurance policy that leaves you personally responsible for 30% of total health care costs for your care. And that can be a tremendous amount of money if, for instance, you have an aneurysm, if your child gets cancer, if a family member develops mental illness or an addiction. You may be responsible for 30% of literally hundreds of thousands of dollars because of the low actuarial value of these policies they're putting in place.
Such an important point, Steffi. We need to take another break. I'll make a quick comment when we come back, and then I'll...
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Hey, Republic Broadcasting. I'm Rob Gray, Executive Director of the American Open Currency Standard. Our team is hard at work here in Texas and across the country assembling the new economy, a system of trade built on honest money and American production. We're proud to report that we now have more than 26,000 merchants trading across the country and more than a dozen private silver currencies like the Lakota Nation and the John Galt. But the most stunning AOCS medallion by far is the new Andrew Jackson Anti-Banker, available right now at RepublicSilver.com. Log on to RepublicSilver.com and get your hands on the investment-grade 999 fine silver Andrew Jackson barter medallions and stretch your purchasing power in our extensive trade network. And be sure to stop by the AG Trading Post in Dallas, the only store that refuses FRNs, where you can trade your Jacksons for top quality goods. Be a part of it today at RepublicSilver.com.
Introducing IXL Anti-Friction Metal Conditioner. IXL works at the molecular level to reduce friction by penetrating into and bonding onto the microscopic openings of the walls of ferrous base metals. The surfaces become smoother and denser, and this reduces the heat, friction, metal expansion, and wear caused by moving metal surfaces. The benefits are reduced maintenance activities and cost, increased fuel efficiency, and prolonged equipment life. It will not clog filters, pipes, injectors, or supply lines, does not build up or accumulate upon itself as do many other additives. IXL does not contain moly, PTFE, or graphites. Also offers the tremendous benefits of being non-toxic. It's used for a friction reducer and performance enhancer in gas or diesel engines, transmissions, automatic or standard gearboxes, turbos, electric motors, outdrives, lathe, and cutting applications. Go to republicbroadcasting.org, then to our online store, or call us at 800-724-2719. That's 800-724-2719.
Here's Dr. John Mattson, a naturopathic doctor, and his views on Cartavite.
I would like to thank you, Don, for making my job so much easier, because your products just make it so simple, right? To fool around with a lot of exotic things that don't work, we can just put them on Cartavite and things start to work almost right away. I've had dozens of patients with heart problems who have corrected them. And what it's doing, there's so much garlic in there that has a yeast-killing effect. That yeast is a big problem in the gut, pushes the liver hard. It also has metal chelating effect. And most of the other herbs in there, I find that strengthen the arteries. They help to neutralize free radicals. Your remedy is as close to what we do in our program as you can get as far as one supplement goes. It's working on the gut. It's working on the liver. It's working on the arteries. What more can you ask for?
For more information or to order your Cartavite, call 1-877-928-8822. Cartavite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or tincture. Our website is heartdrop.com.
Welcome back. On with Steffi Woolhandler, talking about universal single-payer health care. Steffi, most of my working life, I was in a small family business, and I absolutely have nothing against. I support free enterprise. What I object to, and I have an MBA at a rather noted school, so I know the way people preparing for those big corporations so often taught and what we learn, free and open marketplace is fine. What I object to is the fact that small people like the company I was involved in get trampled by the big people who literally own politicians as an appendage, a virtual appendage of their businesses, and they get bigger and stronger and more consolidated, and the little ones are like the grass that elephants can trample all over. So we get nothing. We never got a dime in corporate welfare. We never had any in or influence with any politician. And if we try to do what some of these big boys do, we'd have been laughed at. We were too small, and of course, many tens, hundreds of thousands of small businesses like ours in all sorts of fields are exactly in the same situation. Politicians don't care about us. They'd rather get rid of us so the big ones can grow bigger and stronger. That's the problem with the system we have. So they design their own way of doing things to benefit themselves. In healthcare, it's to get every buck possible out of consumers to make them more money, to provide as little in the way of services as possible, at least the insurers. I quoted one analyst calling the insurance companies, Steffi, denial machines. Oh, they don't mind if you have the sniffles. I need a little this or a little that. But try getting a major expensive health problem handled by then. And you know they hired doctors to go through the claims that are made to provide this service or that. They can run into many thousands of dollars. And at the very least, they're going to slow you down to keep them from having to spend all this money. What kind of a system is that? And then this $400 billion you talk about in administration, well, that doesn't provide any care for anybody. Why do we need this? Why don't we put that kind of money toward providing care for people? It's good for people. It's good for the country. It's amazing. This is a win-win. This is something that's good for the nation. It's good for most people in it, and yet the politicians won't do anything to go this way.
Well, I think those are very, very good point. I think what you're talking about in terms of health care is the fact that competition in health insurance is actually a race to the bottom, which is the reason a public option won't solve the problems in health care. The way insurance companies compete is that they recruit healthy people, and then they try not to pay out much money. And in order to recruit healthy people, they may give you a free pair of eyeglasses or, you know, say that you can come in for your pap smear and you don't have to wait, because those are things that healthy people need. But they're very bad about paying for high-cost chronic diseases. They try to get rid of patients who have those diseases, like diabetes or high cholesterol or high blood pressure or kidney disease or liver disease. They try to get rid of you if they find out you have a chronic condition. So it's really a race to the bottom. Insurance companies compete to collect money and not pay out much in benefits. In fact, when they write to their shareholders to brag about how well they did, they say, oh, we had such a low medical loss ratio. We only spent 78 cents of every dollar on taking care of patients. We managed to have 22 cents on the dollar for our overhead and profit. Aren't we great? And that is what they say in their reports to stockholders, because that's how you compete in healthcare. You race to the bottom. You race to collect money and not provide care. So people who say, well, public option, that'll compete, they've got it completely wrong. What's going to happen is the private health insurance industry is going to recruit all the healthy people. It's going to push the sick people into the public option. The costs are going to go up, up, up in the public option. The Congressional Budget Office says that the premiums on the public option are actually going to be higher than private health insurance, and that fewer than 2% of the population is likely to enroll because the premiums are higher. So by putting in something that sounds like it's going to help, you're actually not dealing with the real problem, because competition in healthcare is a race to the bottom, and this just helps helps the insurance companies get to the bottom faster, which is highly profitable for them.
Well, indeed so, and it really is very shameful. We call ourselves a democracy, a nation that cares. It's not true, but we say these things, and we go back, and we cite the founders and the Constitution as the bedrock of law, and in many respects a unique document, but nowhere anywhere near as good as this claim. But we've got all these things, and we make all these claims, and then you look at this vital issue. It's certainly not the only one, but it's a vital issue. Human health, my goodness, I think all the time, especially at my age, that if I don't have my health, then maybe nothing else matters. I mean, my health is the most valuable thing I have. And the idea that maybe if I came down with a serious illness and I wasn't able to have it treated, what kind of a nation that calls us what we do would ever let something like that go on? It doesn't compute, and yet that's exactly the way it is. It's exactly the way it's always been. And whenever in the past a president wanted to do anything, even something small, to fix this system, nothing ever came of it. My goodness, there were a number of times in the past, if you go back far enough, but even the time when it should have been the easiest to do, back in the 1930s, when government was actually doing things for people, well, Franklin Roosevelt gave us Social Security, and it's a good thing he did, but he didn't give us Medicare. He didn't give us national health coverage for everybody. He didn't do that. And you have to wonder, if we couldn't get it from FDR, how the devil can we ever get it from Barack Obama?
Well, many people feel that if FDR had lived longer, he might have succeeded at getting national health insurance. Certainly, most of the other developed nations adopted national health insurance fairly soon after the end of World War II. The British National Health Service, the Canadian system, came in the 50s and 60s. So those years after World War II were years that saw most developed nations provide not just Social Security and pensions, but provide some mechanism for nonprofit universal health care. And the United States was the outlier. What the direction that the United States went was towards job-related health care, which worked okay as long as people had good jobs and jobs with benefits. But even when the American economy was booming, many elderly people would, you know, leave the workforce and find that they just couldn't get any health care. That's why we have the Medicare program. That's why politicians were wise enough to set it up to make sure people did have some program for health care after they retired. But currently, you know, the jobs available out there in the economy now don't necessarily come with health insurance. There's a lot of service jobs. There's a lot of people working what you call contingent employment, where they're working as, quote, consultants, or they're working two or three part-time jobs. So people, you know, people trying to do creative work, setting up websites, or in the musical world trying to write things, don't necessarily have health insurance. So in the 21st century job market, it doesn't make any sense to tie health insurance to working for a large corporation, because a lot of people don't do that. It makes much more sense to say you have a right to health care, and I do as a physician believe people have a right to health care. Every child born in this country has a right to health care. Everyone working in this country has a right to health care. Everyone in this country has a right to health care. We can afford that, and that's the way to make sure people can get care when they need it.
Well, very definitely. I absolutely, like you, see health care as a human right, just like freedom from hunger, all the four freedoms that Roosevelt talked about. Whether or not he would have done it if he were healthier and lived long enough, well, we'll never know, Steffi. It's not true of Canada, but I know it's true of Europe, that they were so ravaged by World War II that the decision was made in these countries that they needed to do something for their people. And one of the things they did was provide coverage, healthcare coverage for them. Of course, we were the only Western power that, Canada as well, that came out of World War II in one piece. And the main avenue that we went down wasn't so much providing benefits for the people, but militarism. And I've written about that. The decision was made that there was a fear. It was very unjustified, but there was a fear we'd fall back into another Great Depression because all the war spending came to a halt. So the decision was made that military spending has to continue in some form, and so it did. And 5 years after World War II ended, we had another war. And not too long after that, we had another war. So the militarism goes on, and the spending goes for that. Think of what a small amount of that spending in the many trillions of dollars since World War II ended, and we literally have not had an enemy anywhere in 65 years. And we've thrown all of those trillions of dollars into militarism. We spend more than all other nations combined. With no enemies anywhere, imagine if we used a portion of that to benefit people in the country, including health care. And again, I stress, that would be good for the country, but we don't do it.
Well, I think we agree on that. I think even apart from militarism, just the money that now goes into health care in this country, the $8,000 per capita, is enough. If we distributed it right, if we got rid of the high administrative costs associated with private health insurance, if we got rid of the excessive and unnecessary care that a lot of people get and really focused the healthcare system on the patient's needs at the center, we could give great health care for everyone. We could meet everybody's medical needs. We could provide mental health care. We could pay for their medications. We could have tremendous improvements in the services like long-term care, home care, rehabilitation care. There really is the money in the system to care for everyone. You know, militarism aside, we are already spending enough on health care in this country to care for everyone, but we're squandering it on paperwork. We're squandering it on unnecessary care, and we need to get control of the healthcare system, make sure that that money is really spent in a way that's going to make people secure financially and as healthy as they can possibly be.
Well, absolutely, Steffi. Another issue that concerns me greatly, and I wonder if you may worry about this the way I do. Of course, the plan is to cut hundreds of billions of dollars out of Medicare. And the two numbers I've seen, the Congressional Budget Office, about $400 billion, I guess over 10 years, and an independent study was done that came up with a number around $570 billion. Well, we're talking hundreds of billions of dollars cut out of Medicare. This concerns me, and I wrote an article based on the unfunded liabilities of the federal government for Medicare, Medicaid, and Social Security. There's a website that shows these numbers updated literally by the moment. You see the numbers turning. So you know the official numbers. Whether the real numbers might be higher, I don't know. Uh-huh. But the official numbers are ghastly. And the last number I remember for those three combined was $106+ trillion unfunded. There's no way to pay for this. So the solution is don't pay for them. So they're cutting hundreds of billions out of Medicare. I suspect that's step one, with more cuts to come. And I fear very, very strongly that the unspoken aim of part of this bill is down the road at some point to destroy Medicare and then maybe destroy Medicare and Social Security, because based on those numbers and the way this government wants to spend its money under Democrats and Republicans, they can't do everything. So what do you give up? You give up social services to be able to take care of the bankers and take care of the Pentagon and so forth. And we, the people, are the ones who will be sacrificed. I, honest to God, think that is the ultimate unspoken plan.
Well, you know, one of the ways Medicare has been cut is that they've increased the co-payments and deductibles and the premiums so that a lot of elderly people on a fixed income are taking more money out of their pocket just to pay the premiums, the co-payments, the deductibles. And that's not right, because that really is blaming the patient for the problem in the healthcare system. The place where Medicare is wasting a lot of money is a lot of money is going to services that are completely unnecessary and sometimes even harmful. So that currently the average for Medicare is one advanced imaging procedure, one high-tech scan for every Medicare enrollee every year. And, you know, I'm a doctor. I do use advanced imaging. I sometimes need those scans, but there's no way that we need that many scans. The average Medicare recipient who gets one advanced imaging scan gets three in the course of a year. And that's just excessive use of these scans instead of examining the patient, thinking about the patient, using the scan when you need it. They're just, you know, doctors are ordering scans, I think, before they even talk to the patient half the time. So that's a very expensive way to run a healthcare system. It doesn't meet the patient's need. It exposes them to radiation and discomfort that they don't even need, whereas talking to the patient, examining the patient, you might be able to come to a diagnosis. So I think there are ways that money's wasted in Medicare, but the cuts they're talking about are really not going to get at those. The cuts they're talking about will continue this regime where we keep seeing increased copayments, increased deductibles, increased premiums for Medicare recipients, as we've seen in the last 10 years. And that's not fair, and it's not right, and it's not something I can support.
Oh, absolutely. I see those increases in my share of the cost all the time. And, I mean, Blue Cross keeps raising my premiums. They do it annually, and when you reach a certain birthday milestone, and Medicare Part B keeps raising the premiums, so they're getting a greater pound of flesh out of me. And there are other things, too, Steffi. I am an absolute firm believer in taking personal responsibility for my own health. Living a good lifestyle can go a long way toward warding off diseases that never come because I'm careful. I also think that there are natural remedies that can be very beneficial and far, far cheaper than very expensive treatments. I abhor drugs. They all have bad side effects, even aspirin, bad side effects. I try very hard to avoid them. I never would want to take anything unless I absolutely needed it. So there are lots of things that we can do to spend less money and stay healthier, which is what it's all about in the first place. My goodness, another break.
Okay, well, I agree with most of that, but I do like aspirin. I think low-dose aspirin's a good drug. All right.
Do you know the truth about cancer treatments? Do you realize that with all presently accepted methods, you are not correctly attacking the cancer, and you are mostly fighting to survive the treatment? Do you realize that mutilating surgery, burning and poisoning of your entire system are totally unnecessary? But now it's cancer's turn to die with LaserMed Incorporated's patented methodology. Without cutting, bleeding, drugs, or damaging radiation, we can destroy skin cancer and breast tumors of any size without adverse side effects at our physician's office. Laser technology at its best. For more information, visit www.lasermedinc.com on the web. That's www.lasermedinc.com.
Call now, 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528.
Utopia Silver believes it is your God-given and constitutionally protected right to make your own health care decisions however you choose. You have a right to truthful information about natural alternatives for healing and preventing illness. We don't sell drugs or tell you just to ask your doctor about expensive medications that only manage disease symptoms and have side effects that lead to still more medications in an endless spiral. Instead, we provide you with honest information and quality products so you don't have to depend on drugs. Utopia Silver is known for fighting for health freedom, but we also make and distribute some of the best colloidal silver, colloidal gold, and other top-notch supplements available anywhere. Take charge of your health and support our health freedom battles by visiting us at utopiasilver.com. That's UTOPIASILVER.com or call 888-213-4338. Again, 888-213-4338. This has been Taylor, and you will be appreciated in Utopia.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Back, final segment with Steffi Woolhandler on universal single-payer health coverage. Steffi, we certainly agree that it's a lot better to feel good rather than feel ill and bad and to be in pain, and if there's anything that we can do to ward off as much as possible, that is an idea that will go down well with everybody. I'll hold back on the aspirin discussion at the moment. I keep some around just in case.
Which is very good for prevention of heart attacks men who are at high risk. So I don't like to hear people say bad things about aspirin. Now, some people are allergic or can't tolerate it. But if you're a man at high risk for a heart attack, if you've had one or you have diabetes, a little tiny bit of aspirin is a great drug for you.
Oh, indeed so. The excess is a bad on everything, whether it's medications or too much food or whatever. But let me let you finish up with some final thoughts on this big, big issue.
Okay, well, I think people need to come out of this reform round ready to talk to their communities about that we continue to need a single-payer plan that's an expanded and improved Medicare program for everyone. We need to get the private health insurance industry out of health care, and, in fact, that's why this current bill is so bad, is the private health insurance industry hijacked the process. Because the health care system is not fixed, we're all going to be facing high costs in the future. We're still going to have 25 million uninsured people. And so we're going to need to tell the American people, tell our friends that we have not got real health reform, that we need to go back to the drawing board and be talking about the single-payer system that we all need. And in the interim, everyone needs to be taking care of their own health by getting exercise, trying to eat right, and trying to find yourself a good doctor who can help you with the serious things that do require medication and treatment.
Well, very definitely, and exercise absolutely important. It's part of my daily regimen. I also stay away from junk foods. We try. Nobody can be perfect, and of course we're born with the genes that our ancestors give us. So there's nothing much we can do about that. But there certainly is a great deal to do to stay healthy and realize what's good for us, what's not good for us. And in the age of the internet, Steffi, it's very easy to go check some things we're not sure about and get some real good information on what works.
Yeah, that's a very good point.
And your website, of course, which, again, is an invaluable resource. Give it again so people, I hope listeners will bookmark it and go to it to get the updates on this whole issue, which, of course, is crucial for everyone.
Yes, it's www.pnhp.org. That's our initials, Physicians for National Health Program, PNHP.org. You can also Google Physicians National Health Insurance, Physicians National Health Program, and it will probably come up. And we have some wonderful staff who update the articles and analyses on that website daily, so it's quite up to date. There's archives of information about healthcare reform, so the listeners can become an expert and become an activist in this field. It's resources for people to use.
Well, very definitely. And again, it's a place to get information, real facts, and then people with the facts can decide what they believe in, what they don't believe in. But there's no way to decide what's good or bad when you're walking around in the dark and relying on the dominant media to tell you things that's, in most cases, simply untrue. In virtually all cases, simply untrue. But, Steffi, my great thanks to you for coming on. I will certainly continue this. And Quentin Young in Chicago, where I live, has been on a couple of times, and he said to me, "Oh, he'll come on anytime." So that would be wonderful. We live on opposite sides of the Chicago River. I hope I can get to meet him one day.
Okay. All righty.
Thank you so very much.
It's been my pleasure. Bye bye.
And join us again tomorrow, and stay tuned for Ernie Hancock. With